Praise the Lord, message number 96, the title of the message, The Second Coming of Christ, Part 9. And we will deal in this message with the book of Revelation, chapter 20. In the previous message, we have spoken about the battle of Armageddon and how the Lord, and we are with him, will put his feet on the Mount Olive and the millennium reign of Christ, and we are with him. Christ will rule over the earth for 1,000 years will be started. Before we continue the message, let's pray to ask God to give us insight and wisdom and understanding from the scripture and through the help of the Holy Spirit, so that the message would be clear to us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Bless this time, O Lord, and use it mightily for your glory. Give understanding and wisdom to each and everyone. Help us to digest your word. Your word is the truth, O Lord, that tell us about the future and what is glorious things await for us from you. Help us, Lord, to cherish your word and to be reminded that we need to live in holiness, so that we will find a place with you, to live with you forever. We thank you and we bless you. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start read the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Some of this chapter, the first few verses we have spoken, we will go through them quickly and we'll continue the rest. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He sees the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him, to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time before the Lord will start his millennium reign on the earth for 1,000 years. We have read in book of Revelation, chapter 19, that the beast and the false prophet had been dealt with. They had been thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. But what is left is the devil. And devil here must be bound in the abyss. That is a part in hell. And we know that hell is in the bottom of the earth. The devil will be bound for 1,000 years. Why? Because the nations that he used to fight against Christ and against us in the battle of Armageddon, he will be continuing to deceive them if he will not be bound. So Christ, before he will start his millennium reign over the earth, will cause the devil Satan to be bound for 1,000 years, so that the nations, those who did not receive Christ, will enter the millennium with an earthly bodies, but they will not be making an harmful attack against Christ and against us, because the devil will be bound for 1,000 years. The devil will be the one to cause them to be tempted to fight against God. So devil will be bound. The Satan will be bound and will be in chain for 1,000 years, so that there's no way for the people to be tempted and to fight against God. And you may ask, why God now not bound the devil and why he allow him to deceive the people? The answer for this is that the Lord give you the freedom. God give man freedom to obey or to disobey God. This is now the time for testing. Those who submit fully to God, they can resist the devil and the devil will flee from them, according to James 4:7. And those who want to obey the devil, God also give them the freedom, but they will be end up in hell. But here, after the battle of Armageddon, the time of God's grace would finish. Those who would not believe in Christ, they will enter the millennium reign of Christ with an earthly bodies. There is no more chance for salvation. So those who will be with the Lord and with us, they are already, we will be already in a heavenly bodies, in a glorified bodies. The time for testing had finished. We had been proved that we are wholeheartedly following Christ. During the period of tribulation, God gave his last chance for the wicked, the non-believers, those who are not committed, to commit their ways to the Lord. But after the battle of Armageddon, and when Christ put his feet on the earth, there is no more chance for salvation. So devil will be bound, so Christ will rule freely and we are with him. Verse 4 to verse 6. As to the thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge during the millennium reign, we will rule with Christ. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. We who follow Christ, and those who are dead in Christ, the saints, and those who will be redeemed during the period of great tribulation, our bodies will be transformed to spiritual glorified bodies. And that is the first resurrection. The wicked, those who are dead and they are in hell, they will not be disturbed during the period of the millennium of the 1,000 years. They will continue to be in hell. And those who enter the millennium with an earthly body, there is no more chance for them to be saved or to be transformed to heavenly bodies. When they will die during the 1,000 years, they will be end up in hell. In verse 6 he say, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. The second death will have no authority or power over us. The second death is the fiery lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. Those in hell, the wicked and Satan, and those who enter the millennium with an earthly bodies, they will be end up with the second death. the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Some other books in the Bible from the Old Testament speak about the millennium reign of Christ. It gives some details, some descriptions. There's no more details about the millennium reign, but we can read it from the book of Zechariah chapter 14. Other references from the book of Joel and the book of Daniel and some other minor prophets, they may give some also clues, but we can read more clearly from the book of Zechariah chapter 14. We will read the whole chapter. A day of the Lord is coming when your plunder will be divided among you. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. That is the battle of Armageddon. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Verses 3. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. That is the battle of Armageddon, where the Lord and we are with him will go on into the battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Aziel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. That's here speak clearly that the Lord will come down, and we are with him. The holy ones will be with him. Verse 6, on that day there will be no light, no cold, nor frost. It will be a unique day, without daytime or nighttime, a day known to the Lord. When evening comes, there will be light, a special day. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea, the Dead Sea, and half to the western sea, that is the Mediterranean Sea, in summer and in winter. Verse 9, the Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name the only name. There will be no other kings, no other God, no other Lord over the earth during the millennium, during the 1,000 year. Only Christ, and we are with him, will rule over the whole earth. The whole land from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, will become like the Araba, but Jerusalem will be raised up and remain in its place. From the Benjamin gate to the side of the first gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the royal wine presses, it will be inhabited. Never again will it be destroyed. Jerusalem will be secure, the city of God, where Christ will rule, and we will be with him. It will be secure. This is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem, those who fought against Jerusalem in the battle of Armageddon. The Lord will send them a plague. What is this plague? Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. On that day, men will be stricken by the Lord with a great panic. Each man will seize the hand of another, and they will attack each other. Judah too will fight against Jerusalem. The wealth of all the surrounding nations will be collected, great quantities of gold and silver and clothing. A similar plague will strike the horses and the mules, the camels and donkeys and all the animals in those camps. This is some detail about the battle of Armageddon. Then, verse 16, then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle. What we find here, those among the nation who fought against God, there will be some survivors. They will enter the millennium and be with an earthly body, a human. There is no salvation for them. They will worship the Lord. There is no other God. There is no other king. Year after year, they will go. They will go to Jerusalem. They worship God, but no salvation for them. During the millennium, also there will be a celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacle. This is one of the feasts of the Old Testament. We will celebrate it because part of those who will be saved are Jewish. And as the Lord will rule from Jerusalem, this feast we will celebrate. Verse 17, if any of the people of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. During the millennium reign of Christ, Christ would judge the whole nation with an iron scepter. And punishment and discipline will be at once. If they will not obey, there will be no rain for them. Not like now. The Lord now is patient, giving chance to the people. If they want to obey, they should obey willingly. If they want to disobey, God is not punishing them at once to give them the freedom to decide. But in the millennium reign, there is no more other authorities, there is no more Satan, there is no other rules. Christ is ruling. Those who disobey among the nation, who will enter the millennium reign of Christ with an earthly bodies, the Lord will rule them, and we are with Him with an iron scepter. If the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no rain. The Lord will bring on them the plague He inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. On that day, holy to the Lord, will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the sacred boughs in the front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty, and all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook on them, and on that day there will no longer be Canaanite in the house of the Lord Almighty. These are some details about how the nation will go and worship the Lord, and they will sacrifice to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You may ask why there'll be no salvation for those who had entered the millennium reign of Christ with an earthly body. Let's go back to Book of Revelation chapter 20 and read verse 7 to verse 10. When the 1,000 years are over, what will happen after the 1,000 year of Christ's reign and we are with Him? Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. they marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. What we find here, after the millennium reign of Christ finish, devil will be released for a short period of time. What he will do? He will deceive the nation. They will respond to him, yes. Gog and Magog. They will gather together to make a battle and fight against the city of God and against the people of God, against us. So here, what we find here, that the nations are disobedient, but they were obedient to the Lord because Satan was in control in the abyss. But when Satan was given the freedom, they respond to Satan. Well, that's why there's no chance for them to be saved, because their heart was set on Satan. God would give chance during the period of tribulation for the nation to repent. But after the period of tribulation, where God's purpose and his patience and grace will give the people the last chance to repent, and they will not make it, then no more salvation. Here, how the Lord will deal with those nations? Fire will come down from heaven and will devour them. They will die, and they will be brought into hell with the rest of the wicked people. And what will be happening to Satan, the devil? Satan will be caught and will be thrown into the burning sulfur. And that is where the second death, the fiery lake of the burning sulfur, where the beast and false prophet had been thrown before him. After this event, verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. This is the great white throne of judgment of God Almighty. Now is the time for the judgment of the wicked. Verse 12 to verse 14 from the book of Revelation chapter 20, we will read how God would judge the wicked. The judgment of the righteous, done. The wedding supper of the wedding supper of the land. The wedding supper of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 19, where the Lord will give every one of us his reward, we who serve him. Now the judgment of the wicked. Satan had been judged, thrown into the burning sulfur, the second death. Now the judgment of the wicked. Verse 12 to verse 14. And I saw dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. These books, in it there is record of every wicked thing they have done. Every wicked will face the Creator, and he'll be shown clearly what he had done wrong and how he had been exposed to the message, and how he refused and how he disobeyed and lived his life against the word of God. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Death and Hades. Hades is hell, and death is part of authority of devil, and hell will be thrown into the lake of fire, the second death. Verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So we have here the book of life, where will be checked the name of the wicked, they will be not there, their names, and then they will be referred to the books of deeds, what they have done wrong. It will be like a court. God Almighty will judge the wicked. The Creator will judge the man whom he had created, but he disobeyed God. So here, what you find in the front of us in the Bible, everything clear about the future. We have a very profound and clear message from the Lord. What is ahead of us? Is it true? The Lord's coming is it true? Judgment of the wicked is true. We need to live our life in holiness. Everything, as we have read the book of Revelation, everything very clear about the future. So what we need to do? What you need to do, you who listen, we need to live in holiness so that our place in heaven, in heavenlies, with the Lord and forever will be secure. I will read book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. Now, what is after the white throne? What is after the great white throne of judgment? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. What John saw and wrote here, he said that I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. What we see now from heavens and earth will be destroyed. As we have read here in the book of Revelation chapter 20 verse 14, death and Hades were thrown to the lake of fire. Hades is in the bottom of the earth. It means that the Lord will tear the earth, will take the hell out of it and throw it. As if the Lord is opening the earth like, and he is opening an orange or watermelon and take something from inside and throw it out. What we see from heaven and earth, it will be destroyed. Peter spoke about that in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, speak about this. And also he tackled Apostle Peter in his letter to the church about the second coming of Christ. There was a challenge that some people, they are scoffing and laughing, and they were telling it is not the truth. Christ, we hear that he will come, but he is not coming. Why we should believe? Long time they have promised us. We hear our forefathers, they spoke about that, but nothing yet. In defense to that, Apostle Peter, he wrote to the church. We will read 2 Peter chapter 3, the whole chapter. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own desires, their own evil desires. Verse 4, they will say, where is this coming? He promised. Where is this coming? He promised. About the second coming of Christ. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So here the challenge was in front of the church. People, they are saying, don't believe about the second coming, because our fathers died. They hear about that promise, but the Lord did not come. So they are telling to the people, it's just a lie, don't believe. What Peter is telling them here, they are forgetting that by the same of God's word, heaven and earth was formed by water, out of water and by water. When God created heaven and earth, there was water. Out of the water and by water, the earth created. By the same water, God destroyed the earth at the time of Noah. The Lord say it will be the same at the like the time of Noah. And the second coming will be the same. As God destroyed the earth by water, when the Lord will come, the earth and heaven will be destroyed, but not by water, because God say, I will no more destroy the earth by water. But how he will destroy it? According to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, God will destroy it by fire. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. Maybe the Lord, he said, but long time did not happen, but that does not mean the Lord will not fulfill it. 1,000 years for the Lord is like one day. So we have to wait until the Lord will fulfill it. It will sure come true. His coming is true. Verse 9. Why the Lord is not coming soon? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. If the Lord is not coming, not that he is slow, not that because his word is not true. No, his word is true, and he is not slow. He is just patient. He is giving you chance to repent. He is giving chance to the world, to the people, to repent and renounce their sin and come to follow Christ. If he will come and period of tribulation will be finished, then there is no more salvation. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear What we see from heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. What is the elements? The sun and the stars will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. How the earth will be laid bare? As if it, he will, as if he will rip it and take what is inside outside. And that is how he will take the Hades and death out from the heart of the earth. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Peter is saying, this is what will happen. This is how earth and heaven will be destroyed. Then the question is, what kind of people you ought to be? That's the question. And he put the answer in the same verse, verse 11. You ought to live holy and godly lives. That is the code. We ought to live holy and godly life. Now when you speak about holiness and to be holy, not when you are speaking in the street, when you are speaking it among God's people, many they hate you because many they live in sin. But holiness is the code that can preserve us and can save us. Can save us through the blood of Jesus and will enable us to stand the fire of God's judgment on the ungodly. Verse 12, as you look forward to the day of God and speed is coming, as we are waiting for the Lord, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. What is the elements? Sun and the stars and the moon will be melt and they will be destroyed by the heat. Verse 13, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So we are looking forward not on this heaven and on this earth. A new heaven and a new home and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Who will live in the home of righteousness? Those who live a holy and godly life. So then, dear friends, verse 14, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave you, that God gave him. Verse 16, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letter contains some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Now here the point here, he's saying, verse 14, as you are looking for this day, as you are looking forward to the, as we are looking forward to the new heaven and new earth, we have to do our best and every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. So here there is no way that you live in sin and you want to be taken when the Lord will come. There is no way here that for those who say that small sin is okay and by the grace of God the Lord is forgiving, and they justify that it is fine and well to live in sin and to be called a Christian while you are living in sin. That cannot be. What we understand here from the scripture, the Lord is patient, but that does not mean to abuse the grace of God. The grace of God here is by His patience. But you need to repent sooner or later. But we don't know which time He will come. He may come today. And what you will do? God wants us to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. The purpose of God's patience, if He is silent, it does not mean that He is happy with you. He is not approving you. But He is telling you, repent. I am patient with you so that the time I am giving you, the chance I am giving you, not to continue to abuse me, but to repent and escape from sin and the trap of devil. Peter say, Paul wrote the same with the wisdom that God gave him. And Peter say about Paul that he spoke, that he wrote certain things, sometimes difficult to understand, but he put something here about the writing of Paul. He said that ignorant and unstable people try to distort what he wrote. Some people try to abuse the grace of God. They want to justify that to live in sin, it is acceptable toward the Lord. That cannot be. That cannot be. The home of righteousness will not contain people who continue to embrace sin while they are called themselves Christian or born again or minister to save God, but they are living in sin. Judgment will start in the house of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17 to verse 18, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Very clearly here. There is no way that to continue to live in sin and you say that the Lord will come and take me. No. God wants you to repent. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. We'll be satisfied with that amount, and we will continue in the next part. Now let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your word that show us what will be going happen in the future clearly. Lord, I pray that continue to inspire people, those who understand the message, to abide with the full truth and to fully obey You and live in wholeness and godliness. And I pray for clear understanding and more wisdom to those who hear the message. Clear it to them, O God, and imprint this scripture in their heart with understanding and wisdom so that they can apply in their life. Lord, take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and spread it and make it reach Your people who are in need to hear this message of Yours. We thank You and we praise You, Lord. Bless us, O God. Enlarge our territory. Let Your hands be with us and keep us from harm. so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name, Amen and Amen.